This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
All right, let's begin by taking you fine human beings behind the curtain a little bit. Some of you may be driving around thinking to yourself, gosh, I wonder how my favorite radio shows prepare to go on air and deliver this enlightening content day in, day out, year in, year out. Randy Scott in for Chris Carlin today. I'm Joe Fornball, Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Here's how we did it. The entire 3 to 4 final minute buildup to this show, we were quoting the movie Major League,
yeah,
which is quite quotable.
Imminently quotable. Yeah, as it pertains to so many different things. Air travel, propeller lag, all of it.
Has nothing to do with anything we are doing on this show today. If you thought we were prepping with Major League one-liners because it was going to be a prevailing theme in today's show, it is not. I don't even know if we'll be mentioning baseball outside of this conversation right here, but that's how we get things done. To more important business, the New York Knicks are unkillable. I don't know if they're Walking Dead unkillable. I don't know if they're Mike McDermott alligator blood unkillable. I'm not really sure where you want to go with that, but this team, despite everything you throw at them, keeps finding a way. Final score, 130-121 last night. Knicks take a 2-0 series lead in their Eastern Conference semifinal showdown with the Indiana Pacers. The story should be Jalen Brunson. It is not. Pacers head coach Rick Carlisle, quite upset with the officiating after the game. Take a listen.
You know, the whole world knows that Halliburton's got a bad back. And Hart comes up and shoves him in the back. And it's all over Twitter right now because a few people have shown it to me. And J.B. DeRosa's looking right at it. You can see him. He's got vision of the play. And he shoves Ty right into the corner, and there's no whistle. Right in the back. And so that was shocking, you know, and there are many others, but I can promise you that we're going to submit these tonight. New York can get ready. They'll see them too. You I'm always talking to our guys about not making it about the officials. But we deserve a fair shot, you know, and there's not a consistent balance, and that's disappointing.
Carlisle, understandably apoplectic after the game. Brian Windhorst, always apoplectic, joking. He's one of the calmest people you ever meet. ESPN NBA insider on what the Pacers did after that press conference.
From what I understand, speaking to people this morning, the Pacers were up all night, and they found 49 calls from last night's game that they felt were inappropriately against them. Now, watching the game, I didn't feel like it was that way, but I'm not an expert. So overnight, the Pacers filed the 49 clips and, for good measure, the 29 from game one. And so when people get in and work at the league office today, they're going to find 78 clips having been submitted from the Pacers to the league office about how they feel this series is being officiated. I think the reason the Pacers are doing this is that they think this series is absolutely still in play.
Randy Scott, I know I'm supposed to take this very, very seriously. I can't get this image out of my mind of the Pacers brain trust getting together after the game, just going over the Zapruder tape, finding every alleged violation that they want to send to the league office. What editor do they find to splice this thing together?
Yeah, hopefully something with a little sizzle in the background, like a little, you know, a little Drake, a little Kendrick Lamar in the background.
I hire you and Gary to do like the play-by-play of it, something interesting.
Another missed one. Here's the thing. I would, if I were Rick Carlisle, this is genius. This is a masterstroke. We've seen, we've seen Phil Jackson do this sort of like work a series through the media and through the referees,
oh, yeah,
right? Try to work the refs that way. But it's genius because what it does is it takes the focus off of shortcomings on the coaching style last night, coaching decisions. I mean, he left poor Aaron Nembhard out there to just take whatever Jalen Brunson was given to him on the defensive end. Brunson scored 10 of his 29 points down the stretch with Nembhard as the defensive, like primary defender, 14 of 21 shooting. Could have made any other change. I guess what my point is, when your coach essentially draws attention in this way, he's drawing attention from something else. And the two something else's here are the Rick Carlisle coaching decisions down the stretch, which were horrible. He should be apoplectic about that. And the fact that this team continues to play the worst defense out of any team alive in the playoffs or any team that made the playoffs. They were 24th in defensive rating this season. The only teams worse than them are watching the playoffs on television. Like they played the kind of defense. It's amazing they're even in the postseason considering that. And now I've seen the Knicks score 121 points in the first game and 130 last night.
I think it's a fantastic take. And I completely agree with you. The idea that if you really have problems you want to get upset about, your own team would be a good place to start. Because you had opportunities in games one and games two. Now, is the officiating coming after the little guy? Maybe, but the thing I can't get away from here is the idea that Indiana feels as if they're aggrieved when they have had nothing but the luck factor work in their favor. They have been the luckiest team this postseason imaginable.
How so?
Remember, they walk into a series against Milwaukee, no Giannis. We'll just go ahead and remove an MVP from the equation. Your opening round series against the Bucks, he's out. Damian Lillard gets hurt. And when Lillard comes back for the game where you close him out, he's clearly not 100%. You caught the all-time break in that series. The star player didn't play a minute, and the secondary star player got banged up as well. You advance. You go into this series with the Knicks, who are already coming off a war against Philadelphia. And in game two, their only source of scoring, I don't have the official numbers. I think Jalen Brunson is scoring 98% of Knicks points. We'll get stats and info to check that for me. He goes down after 9 minutes and is out for the rest of the first half. When he makes his Willis Reed-like return, almost instantaneously thereafter, OG Anunoby goes down for the rest of the game. You couldn't ask for more to be set up on your plate to be in a situation to succeed, and you're still failing. So when I hear that the world's not working out for you from an officiating standpoint, all the injuries are working out in your standpoint. It's all karma. It's all balanced here. And you're not taking advantage of any of it. So why should I be getting all banged up about it?
No, at one point last night, this was Evan Cohen who tweeted this out. At one point last night, Mitchell Robinson, Randall, obviously out, OG, Bogdanovich, Brunson, they were out for injury at one point last night, and you still allowed 130 points to that team. These were highs for the Knicks. 130 points, their best playoff performance since 1990. They made 49 field goals. 49, they shot 57%. That is not a referee's issue. That is a lack of defensive execution, scheme, game plan, all of it. And Tyrese Halliburton, to his credit, not only put up a much better stat line compared to what he had in game one, and game one was like 6 points, and last night he had a much better 30, he had 34. He said, let's not pretend like officiating is the only reason we lost. We just didn't play good enough. And I fully believe that they'll win a game in Indiana, maybe because of the Knicks injuries, whatever else. But this idea that referees, the idea that calls are communist. truly, the idea, if he wants to take it to economics, we can swim in those waters here. If he wants to say small market teams deserve a chance, like this is some poor farm-aid performance, like John Cougar Mellencamp's going to get up there and sing Small Town. Like, no, you deserve to, you have to play, it is on you to give the referees something to acknowledge. You have to play some whisper, careless or otherwise, of defense in order for the referees to give you any respect. That's how this works. And Carlisle knows it. He's been around.
Yes, and gamesmanship.
You and I are old enough also to know that the Pacers, because of the virtue of their own home court and a little home cooking, hung with Bulls teams that were so much better than them in the postseason. This is what happens. Crowds influence refs.
I would have loved, that was well done, by the way. You're just on your A game today. Very impressed. I would have loved if at the end of Carlisle's rant about how unbelievable this is, he just concludes with, and we got to break up the banks. We got to smash them into little pieces.
Hey, comrades.
The big banks are destroying the little guy. It's like, all right, we got a lot going on here, Rick Carlisle. Take it easy. Yeah, you can be upset about the officiating. And you know what? Right now, there's a bet. You can get the Pacers plus 2.5 games. So it's a spread for the series. Meaning if the Pacers lose the series 4-3, they lose by 1 game.
Yeah.
If you're getting 2.5 games, you cover that series spread. You can get them plus 2.5 games right now. It's like minus 150. I'd make that bet. They're coming back and they're getting at least one in Indiana. There's a thought process here, and we'll dive more into this later. You could get 4 sweeps in the second round of the playoffs, which financially is not good for anyone. The players, yes.
Okay, yeah, okay.
Do the math.
Yeah, they're all 2-0 right now.
Minimum of 16 games we could get. So I think you might get a little officiating on the home court. Plus, I don't think we're going to be seeing Anunoby. So you're going to have an opportunity here to even this thing up.
Yeah, yeah.
And Tyrese, play some defense.
Yeah, play a little defense. Get a couple of whistles in your own direction. I do think referees are influenced in this way.
I don't think
there's any. I don't want to say this. There is no master coming down from New York, Adam Silver, decree saying, hey, we have to call things a certain way. I just think referees are human beings. And I think they get called out in this way, and they're going to open their eyes a little bit to whatever they're talking about, Halliburton being pushed in the back or whatever that was. Like, you know, also Rick
that
Carlisle
was egregious.
Being
Hart's
on Twitter.
Hart's not going to get a favorable whistle.
No, exactly. So we'll see some elasticity coming back here from the refs.
Knicks-Pacers Game 3, Friday. Coverage begins 6:30 p.m. Eastern. Mark Kestisher, P.J. Carlissimo. He's Randy Scott. I'm Joe Fornball. Rick Carlisle's comments, they end up taking away from the actual story of the game, which we're going to get to next. Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio, including on TuneIn.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Carlin versus Joe. Pizza money alert.
Pizza, pizza.
2-2 last night, up 1/10 of a unit. You probably don't even need that update, but we do it because we want to be accountable in these parts. Two bets coming your way. Let's start with the Thunder -5 over Dallas. I think the Mavericks are cooked. Now, normally, this would be the old zigzag. We saw what happened in game one. We would want to play Dallas in game two, right? Price is inflated. OKC shot well. Dallas didn't. Luka's hurt. He's clearly hurt. He's playing on a banged-up knee, and he's going against Lu Dort, the Dortcher Chamber, all-time defender. You just haven't realized it yet. If he's going to limit Luka and you don't have Maxi Kleber, there's only so much Kyrie can do against one of the best teams and the deepest team in the NBA playoffs. I mean, these guys can go 10 deep, according to Brian Windhorst. So we're going to lay the 5 with the Thunder. We're also going to go back to an old reliable. I think this is the third time we've done this. It keeps hitting. Luka Doncic under 9.5 rebounds. It's juiced. It's around -150. Luka's hurt. He's not chasing down rebounds. He had 10 or more in like 3 of the first 4 postseason games. Since then, it's been 7, 7, and 6. It's a pretty predictable pattern, but the books are still hanging 9.5. So your first two pizza monies tonight, Thunder -5 over the Mavericks, Luka Doncic under 9.5 rebounds.
The Knicks take a 2-0 lead, pulling out a 130-121 victory over the Indiana Pacers.
We know we're going to have to be a lot better when we go to Indianapolis. And so tomorrow we lock in and get ready for game 3.
We just find ways. I think for us, it just starts with our habits. And we talked about doing the little things since day one. And so the little things matter. And you never know when they're going to help you in a big game. You never know when in which game. So it's all about doing little things every single day. And I think we pride ourselves on that.
Randy Scott, Joe Fortenball, Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. We got to the bottom of how you prevent Jalen Brunson from scoring 40 on you in the NBA postseason. You need him to get hurt. because that's really the only thing that stopped him, because he only was able to play 32 minutes last night because of an injury sustained in the first half. However, he bounces back in the second half, ends up going 11 for 18 on the game, drops 29 points in New York's 130-121 win over the Pacers. Head coach Rick Carlisle's comments after the game stole the show. Brunson was the show. Here he is after the game regarding the injury.
I'm all good, and that's it. No, that's one thing I don't know. Don't know. I just felt a little discomfort, and then went from there.
I mean, a regular Bill Shakespeare.
Oh, yeah. Is that Bill Shakespeare over there? I can't see too good. Is this the most, you know, I'm not trying to hijack the segment here, but
no,
is this the most likable New York Nick since when? And I'm not a Knicks fan, so I can't get dyed in the wool and say, oh, you know who's great was
Jeremy Lin.
You know, yeah. I mean, Lin comes to mind, and that was something that casuals like New York casuals got into, and it was a fun sort of, hey, what did Lin do last night, and he did what to Kobe and whatever else. But Jalen Brunson seems to be the straw that stirs this likable Knicks team. You know, I probably more likable than Melo. Melo was just kind of about his business, and you know, the whole idea that Melo was playing like for a hometown team, it's like, no, man, that guy grew up in Baltimore. Like, he was born there, but like, you know, lived elsewhere. This feels like a guy who got his shot, getting his shot, and has answered the bell every single time. It's not a Willis Reed moment last night, but it is playing through discomfort. And to the extent that New Yorkers allow themselves an identity, which is seemingly like, in my opinion, they like all identities are theirs. Like, no, we're this, we're that, we're this, we're tough, we're whatever. But the toughness last night, inarguable, and not his best statistical performance at all, but he seemed to will them and carry them, along with the refs, to victory. You know, I mean, where does it stand with you?
It's not, I would go one step further in terms of his likability. I think the whole damn team. I'm a Sixer fan. I'm born and raised to hate the Knicks. I love this Knicks team. I do.
Yeah,
it makes me feel dirty to say it, but watching them play basketball, this is exactly the type of team I'd want to root for. If I'm the aliens coming down and I'm starting to get the lay of the land and I've navigated through American politics, that takes some time, but I'm through American politics and now I can get into American sports, I start thinking to myself, all right, who do I want to root for? Like, we work with people here who, you know, a lot of people have jumped into English Premier League soccer over the last few years.
Yeah.
So they go to Twitter, who should I root for?
Yeah.
I like the Eagles in American football. Who's the Eagles of EPL? And then they'll find some flop of a team and you'll root for those losers rather than doing a complete about face and going with the winners, but neither here nor there at the moment.
Uh-huh.
Like the scene in Entourage where Ari's talking to the Sklar brothers.
Okay. Yeah. I remember them.
The wife cheated on the one with the brother, and Ari's just like staring out the window and they're like, why are you looking like that? It's like, I'm just thinking if I was to cheat on my wife, who's a small, petite brunette, I'd be looking for a 6-foot blonde. This one found an exact clone of you.
Something different. Right. Yeah. An exact clone.
Going off the rails a little bit, but I love this. Like, this would be the team I would pick. If I had any team to pick,
yeah,
I'd pick them. Knowing full well they're not going to win the title, I would pick them. I love the way they play. In an era where so many things come across as load management-y, soft, where we're upset about officiating, we get rubbed the wrong way, we want to call James Harden stepping into guys back in the day to try to draw all these fouls. Like, all this stuff that made the game just somewhat unlikable, the Knicks are the opposite of that. I love what they do.
It is a coach who will never load manage. I mean, Tom Thibodeau will run these guys and continue to into the ground. So it is a perfect coach for this specifically Villanova trio, right? Josh Hart, Dante DiVincenzo, and Jalen Brunson. They seem to want to play every minute of the second half like they did last night. Josh Hart has, it's Hart and Jokic are the only two players in the postseason right now with 100 or more rebounds. And Josh Hart does not, A, have a prototypical size to be a rebounder, B, play a prototypical position, but that is Tom Thibodeau. Those are Tom Thibodeau's fingerprints on this team. I will say, though, this is where maybe the Thibodeau love fest stops. The Knicks are not immune from complaining in the media about the referees. Thibodeau did that at the defense of his players because of what Embiid did in the last round. So it is part of the game, but I look at the atmosphere. I look at the roster. McBride is a ton of fun to watch. They play defense. They play defense at an undersized position, which to me is like, maybe it's easier to play defense as a 7-footer, right? Rudy Gobert and Wembanyama and everything else. When you play it at 6'5", 6'6", that's your attitude. That's your motor. That's how much you want it. And that's, I think, a reflection of how starved this city is to be playing relevant basketball at this point in May.
Speaking of your boy Tibbs, here he is after the game on how they played in the second half.
A lot of toughness, that's sort of, I think, the makeup We know that's his makeup, but it's also the makeup of our team. I thought we started the game well. The end of the first didn't go as well as we would like. The second quarter was a problem, but I love the way we responded in the third and then the way we finished it out in the fourth.
I'm going to give you three pieces of information. We're going to go back in time 24 hours. I'm going to say, hey, Randy Scott, the Knicks and Pacers are playing game two tonight. I'm going to give you three pieces of information. You go make a bet based on the information. You ready?
All right.
Piece of information number one, the Pacer bench will outscore the Knicks bench 46-12. Piece of information number two, Jalen Brunson will get hurt, limiting him to just over 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. Piece of information number three, OG Anunoby will get hurt, and he will be out of the game when this injury occurs in the second half. Yeah. What kind of wager are you making there?
I'd make an alternative wager. Well, I'd look at the line. I'd look at the line.
4.5, Pacers plus 4.5.
I would take an alternative line of Pacers minus 3.5. And it's probably what, like plus 260?
Yeah, you get yourself a nice payday there.
Yeah, I would have gone money line Pacers at the very least.
Yeah, and it'd probably be a sizable wager too.
Well, one thing, and Brian Russillo in this very studio used to say this, and one thing you can't quantify is the desperation that comes with having a zero in the win column in a series. So the Pacers are going to be desperate beyond measure in game three because they're down 0-2. All the metrics will say, hey, on the road, the Knicks do this. At home, the Pacers do that, whatever. But you have to view it through this prism of like the desperation that comes. So I know later in the show, we're going to talk about how we could have, you know, four sweeps and whatever else. We won't. We won't have a single sweep, in my opinion.
Oh.
But we'll get there down the road.
Feels like we've already completed that task.
It's very interesting to look at how poorly the defensive effort and output has been from the Pacers. Hasn't been that much better for the Knicks. That's why Windy can get on here and say with a straight face that the Pacers feel like they are in this series, that the series is still gettable for them. And why not? They're right there. They are scoring better than 115 points a game. And that, considering the way the new, you know, crackdown on rules have been and fewer free throws and everything else, that is enough to get you to win some games. And I think that'll happen for Indiana.
What's amazing is I've watched every Knick game this postseason, and every game they've won, I have a very strong case for why they should have lost. And the two losses, it's like they should have won those games. Everything is bizarro world with them.
Yeah.
It's just they're there. They find a way to put themselves in a position to have a play. Famous poker phrase, I got a chip in a chair. That's it. They're there. Yeah. They're not the big sack, but they're there. They're at the table, and it's like, I cannot knock this guy off. Yeah. It's a gut shot on the river, whatever it may be. They just keep finding a way.
It was interesting
compelling
to see Reggie Miller there last night, to hear what Josh Hart had to say to him. Like, there are just some older, like, throwback vibes to this. And maybe that's why you and I like the Knicks as much as we do or enjoy watching them.
Yeah.
They feel like the older Knicks teams. They feel tougher. They feel like they're hard workers. I mean, Josh Hart's traveled better than 27 miles this postseason on the court. Like, he is busting his you-know-what out there.
I loved the reaction from Knicks fans before the game with Reggie Miller on the call in the Garden. It's like, this is an all-time troll job right here. Just everybody's just a glass case of emotion. Saturday, MLB on ESPN Radio. Diamondbacks at Orioles, 3:30 p.m. Eastern. Tim Kirkchin will be on the call for that. He's Randy Scott. I'm Joe Fortenbaugh. We're Carlin versus Joe today, and we're presented by Progressive Insurance. Round out your protection with life, phone, and pet health insurance. Nikola Jokic, congratulations on your third MVP award in 4 years. Still might be underrated, believe it or not. Talk about that next. Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals. That includes email, social, SMS, and more. So you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! saved. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Nikola Jokic of the Nuggets wins another MVP award, his third in the last 4 years.
It's nice, you know, it's a special moment. Probably I'm going to remember the whole life. It's, I like to say, the legacy for after career.
Last year, when the Nuggets go 16-4 on a dominant run to a championship, it made voters feel more comfortable with casting that vote this year. And that's why I think you saw Jokic not just win the award, but win it in landslide fashion.
I love it how in that you hear Jokic mention how it's a tremendous honor. It's something he'll remember for the rest of his life. Like, imagine you get towards the end of your life and you're like, I forgot I won that third MVP award in the National Basketball Association back in the day.
If anybody was going to forget, though,
right.
the horse racing aficionado from...
They're like, Serbia. How many MVPs was it you won again? A couple. So long ago.
Three?
It really didn't matter to me.
And not just horse racing. Like, is it carriage racing?
Harness racing.
Yeah. You know, like, it's a different, he's just a different dude.
Notoriously corrupt harness racing.
Why is that?
I once heard in Vegas from a horse racing guy, he's like, the most fixable and corruptible of all the horse racing was harness racing.
Because, what are we, loosening axles or something?
Maybe the way they can jockey into position and block each other. I don't know. I think maybe the humans have more control than we would imagine. I never asked the follow-ups. I just always thought, huh. And then I passed that nugget along for a decade without having any follow-up information for anyone who naturally asks that follow-up every single time.
I don't need to vet it. We're fine.
Randy Scott, Joe Fornball, Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio. So you heard it. Nikola Jokic last night wins his third MVP award. He does so in 4 years. He's the second player in NBA history to have a season in which he recorded 2,000 points, 900 rebounds, 600 assists. The Big O, Oscar Robertson, the only other person to do that in a season. Jokic now becomes the ninth player to win at least three MVP awards. Did not think it was that many. Would have thought this club would have been a little smaller. Kareem with 6, MJ with 5, Bill Russell and LeBron James each with 4, and then Wilt Chamberlain, Moses Malone, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, and Nikola Jokic with 3 apiece. Tom Haberstroh used to work here. He does a great job covering basketball. I saw this note from him this morning. He did one of his traditional deep dives that he's so good at. He went all the way back to 1984. And Jokic has now been in the league 9 years. He goes back to 1984. He looks at all the MVPs. He can't find an MVP going all the way back to 1984 that played their first 9 years in the league without a teammate who was an all-star, all-NBA, or all defense at any point.
Okay.
9 years in the NBA, Nikola Jokic has never played with an all-star, an all-defensive member, or an all-NBA player. Fascinating to me. He wins 3 and 4. Just your initial thoughts.
Well, it's going to make, I was thinking about this. Is this the last one he'll win? And what those odds would be. Like, putting it into a betting parlance, right? Like, if you could bet on whether or not he wins another MVP award, what would those numbers look like?
The first thought is he would be a favorite to win another. Like, if you said the rest of his career, will he win over half an MVP?
Correct.
I would say that I think he would be a favorite to win at least one more, but very small, and I could be wrong there.
Like a minus 180?
Smaller. Like a minus, like 110, 115.
Oh, okay.
Because it's very hard to win these, but he's so dominant.
Yes. That's my point, though.
Okay.
My point is, when you try to win another MVP, I mean,
Randy Scott's point, hard to win MVP awards.
Well, harder to win them when you've already won them.
Very
true. Because you are not only competing against your colleagues that year, you're competing against your former seasons. You're competing against yourself. So you have essentially raised your own bar higher and higher to the point where it's unattainable, not to mention voter fatigue, not to mention flavor of the month, flavor of the season. I think SGA getting close this year indicates he'll win. If he duplicates these numbers next year, SGA is in line to win another one. But what it also does, what you do as Jokic and playing with a three-time MVP becomes more attractive league-wide. So whether it's Jamal Murray stringing together a healthy season, which would be an all-star season, or just other players wanting to align themselves with Jokic in Denver, other all-stars, defensive, whatever the metric was for Habistro, I think playing with worse players makes your candidacy stronger as an MVP. And so moving forward, better players will want to play with him. Therefore, his MVP candidacy for that reason and many others will be weaker. It just will. He could put out the same numbers for the rest of his NBA career, 6-7 seasons, whatever it is, and he will not win another MVP award because his teammates will get better, voter fatigue will increase, and you're competing against. He would have to improve his own stats by certain percentages moving forward.
To bring that all together, it's Randy Scott to Nikola Jokic, time to retire.
No. I just think the dad bod god will no longer be an MVP. Like, he'll be in the vote. He'll get votes. Basketball analysts, people who like the net, what is it? What was the number? Net efficiency. Who like metrics? Who like analytics? Things like that. I'm not trying to sound like I'm anti any of it, but they love Jokic.
Yeah.
Those numbers support a guy who is capable of going out there and dropping 33 and also capable of going out there and dropping 15. He just has that impact on the game. Some people are able to quantify it. Fewer people are able to buy into it. They all have MVP votes, and that's gotten us to this point. But I think moving forward, because he's going to be competing against the box score numbers that most people still look at, I just don't see him winning another one. So essentially savor the flavor, yeah.
I love the fact that, and maybe this is just me that thinks that, and I don't know if it's because of his general demeanor. I don't know if it's because maybe it's foreign-born, so we don't get as used to him as we do to some players when we watch him come up. Like Zion, we knew him coming up. We knew him in college, all that stuff. It seems like when the Nuggets are going well, he's getting all the credit, deservedly so. Mm-hmm. And if things don't go well in this series against Minnesota, we're not going to put him under the bus like we would put LeBron under the bus or Embiid. Yeah. Like, other stars take all the heat for the team not playing well. It seems like it'll be, the guys around him just didn't play very well. I was talking about that this morning. Someone brought to my attention our very good friend Chris Canty completely disagreeing with that sentiment. Take a listen to this.
You've got to be able to have that individual success translate to the team being able to consistently compete for titles. And so that's the thing that I'm looking at. And when you consider what's going on in the Western Conference right now, when you look at what OKC is building, when you look at what the Minnesota Timberwolves are doing to the Denver Nuggets, when you think about Victor Wembanyama and the Spurs and how they're coming, the Houston Rockets with Jalen Green and Ime Udoka, how they're coming, like, I just wonder, is the path in the Western Conference going to get any easier than it is this year? That's the part where I get a little bit concerned about what the Denver Nuggets are going to be capable of accomplishing and how hard it is going to be for them to continue to keep this team together.
One of the things I love about that is Canty's already gone so far down the line, he's talking about watch out for the Rockets. And we're already at watch out for the Rockets, which, to his credit, they got much better this year.
Yeah.
I just love the fact that we've already moved to that point while moving past some other teams. But he raises an interesting point here about Jokic possibly only winning one and then how that stacks up against these other MVPs. Because obviously the other guys who have won three, Kareem, MJ, Russell, LeBron, Wilt, Moses, Larry, Magic, they've all got multiple titles, if I'm not mistaken. I would then redirect back to the Haberstroh conversation we were just having, the stat where he doesn't play with any stars. Murray is a very good player. Murray's never been an all-star. Jokic has gone 9 years in the NBA without playing with a single all-star, all-defensive candidate, or all-MVP, or all-team candidate, all-NBA candidate.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's remarkable to me, because I'm pretty sure, and I don't know if anyone wants to fact-check me on this, Kareem, MJ, these guys played with legit talent around him. Kareem. I don't think we need
Kareem
to go very far.
Kareem played with Magic.
There you go.
Yeah.
And therefore, Magic played with Kareem. So that one's out. Larry played with?
Robert Parrish, Kevin McHale, Bill Walton. I mean, I don't know why I'm throwing these guys out. But
they're all all-stars.
Everybody,
They're all very good
Dennis
players.
Dennis Johnson, yeah.
Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, Dennis Rodman,
yeah.
Bill Russell.
B.J. Armstrong.
I was not around for Bill Russell. Does anyone know the stars Bill Russell played with? I was not around. Kuzi,
Havlicek.
Look at you.
Yeah.
What about Wilt?
Wilt, Elvin Hayes, Jerry West, right? I think he was in that discussion.
Every one of these guys
had
all-stars and elite players and Hall of Famers around him. Like, to Canty's point, I get if he only has the one, maybe we look at it a certain way, but those other guys had a lot around them.
Well, I think there's more parity in the NBA now, right? The idea of having a dynasty, having someone rip off a three-peat, I mean, that was the Warriors. It's not going to happen again. But I don't think, I mean, it never's a long time, but You look at Jokic. Okay, Aaron Gordon belongs in an all-defensive conversation. Yes. Michael Porter Jr. is a budding star. Jamal Murray is an all-star. He wasn't healthy for 15 of the votable games for the all-star committee. Like, there are ways around this. Eye test-wise, he has good teammates. Mm-hmm. He does. Just by those accolades and awards and whatever they are, fine. He doesn't fit that metric, but Jokic is not out there doing this himself. It is a hell of an insurance policy, publicly and otherwise, with your own candidacy to say, okay, if he wins, it's because of him. If he loses, it's because he doesn't have any support. Sign me up for that. That's a tremendous legacy buffer that you have, right? You're wrapped. Your legacy is in bubble wrap for however long you choose to stay in Denver, conceivably. But I do think better players, established all-stars, guys chasing rings, are going to want to play in Denver and play with Jokic. So I think that argument, that bubble wrap, is going to fall by the wayside.
Will eventually come to an end. Very well said. The biggest difference, or at least one of the biggest differences, between the NHL playoffs and the NBA playoffs could not have been on more full display for all to see over the last 3 days. It is a shocking contrast that we are going to have for you next. Randy Scott, Joe Fornball. Randy's got something special for you, everyone. Stay tuned.
I do, and it's from Indeed. It's a perfect time to gear up and connect to quality candidates, and there's no better way to do that than through Indeed, the hiring platform that makes it easy to attract, screen, and interview candidates all in the same place. Their interview tool helps you schedule and conduct video interviews right from your employer dashboard. Nix the hassle. Start hiring at Indeed.com/credit.
Barbasol Shaving Cream, America's leader for a close, comfortable shave. Better by Barbasol.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
It's a dangerous thing. If that official takes a step backwards, he's going to step on that towel and could easily, his foot's going to go out from under him, could easily be injured, or any player diving for a loose ball, or any number of things could have happened.
That was an inch away from Carl Anthony Towns planting his right foot right on that thing. That could have hurt him. He could have been out of the game.
Player's safety was endangered. It was a reckless and careless act. You can't be throwing stuff onto the court if you're sitting on the bench.
Somebody could have stepped on that.
Had that happened, this situation is very different. But because no one got hurt, but because he threw a towel rather than a chair, the optics aren't necessarily that bad. It's Thursday, and you know what that means? A little day betting alert on Carlin versus Joe here on ESPN
day
Radio.
Day betting alert!
Presented by Progressive Insurance. That's coming up at about 1 o'clock. Evan's got the hot hand. He'll give you the bet, and we'll play it out here live on TV.
Day
Randy
alert.
Scott is here today. I never know when those are coming. It's never an appropriate time. Randy Scott, Joe Fortenbaugh, Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. You and I get the pleasure to work with each other today.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten your thoughts on this. You heard everyone's takes on Jamal Murray and the action of throwing the heating pad, followed by the towel. And then we find out 2 days ago that he will not be suspended. He will, in fact, get a $100,000 fine. Mm-hmm. He met with the media, talked about it yesterday. We'll address that in just a moment. But your thoughts, should he have been suspended.
Absolutely should have been suspended. Yeah. I initially see it and you're like, all right, it's a little towel. That's what it looked like watching the game. You come to find out it's a heating pad and you're like, whatever. But you knew it was intentional. You knew it didn't slip out of his hand. So there's no argument there. There's no defense there. And then I defer to the guys who played. You know, all due respect to Greeny, he and I both, you know, bruise like peaches. You know, like we're on this side of the mic for a reason. And so while my initial blush at it, I agreed with everything Greeny said. Every bit of it. Like, it's reckless. Oh, he had a great tweet. Yeah, you know, Murray's fined 0.3% of his salary. That'll teach him. It's all well and good, but he and I wear makeup to work. You know, like, this is what we do. Legs goes out there and says, no, it's a big damn deal. You know, and Perkins goes out there and says, no, this is a problem. And Jay Will and guys who played the game and know that the thing you have to trust on the court is your footwork. Like, you have to be able to trust every time you plant that it's a solid ground underneath you. That's why the ball guys are out there wiping the floor constantly. That's why the floor crew's out there. That's why they have stick 'em when they come off the bench, all of it. So for Murray to undermine that, not only for an official, but for guys, Carl Anthony Towns, Ed Al, that's a big damn deal, and I defer to the guys who played. If they're upset, it's something to get upset about.
This is not to fly in the face of any of that. It's really not. I know I'm kind of setting it up that way.
I
saw it happen. The action, obviously, is completely inappropriate.
Yeah.
Just all that stuff. You don't need me to reiterate it. Now that we're a couple days past it, and we've handed out the $100,000 fine, and life has gone on, I saw the highlights this morning as everyone's breaking it down as it's up there right now on TV. And like you see right here, like watch this. He just tosses that towel, it hits the ground. And I just think to myself, like, it's good. Like, look at this. It's heavy toilet paper. That's what this is.
What
heavy, like, look at this right here. It's just, it doesn't even really make it to the court. The ref's right there. I just thought to myself, we really got worked up about this really light, soft piece of fabric that was tossed gently in the direction of another human being. Yes, I understand someone could slip on it and fall and get injured.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to make light of that, but having a couple days to sit back on it and think about that, I see the highlight and it's just kind of like, it's, okay. You know, it doesn't make it right. But here's the thing. I'm contrasting that with watching Bruins Panthers last night. And in the late third, for anyone who didn't watch this, it's 5-1 Panthers, and just all hell breaks loose in this game. Everyone decides, you know what? Enough with the goal scoring. Time to start fighting. And everyone starts fighting. In all, 87 penalty minutes to the Bruins, 71 penalty minutes to the Panthers. Coach Montgomery of the Bruins after the game, quote, I thought our team was emotionally engaged. I just didn't think we had the juice. That's how he breaks that down. There's a sequence, if you haven't seen this last night, David Pastrnak, the star of the Boston Bruins late in the game, Matthew Tkachuk, one of the stars of the Florida Panthers, they get into it on the ice where Tkachuk gets Pastrnak to the ground. So, like, this is kind of where it ends. And the two refs come in and get on top of Pastrnak to basically signify this is over, we're breaking it up.
Correct.
Tkachuk jumps on top of the pile, hits Pastrnak one more time to flatten him. There's a scramble that ensues. I'm using my MMA parlay. It's just grappling. There's a scramble. Yeah. Pastrnak gets out, gets on top, and then he launches back in between the two officials, and he's throwing blows at Tkachuk to get back at him.
Yeah.
Two officials are there. They're catching shrapnel from these blows. And you're thinking to yourself, look at this situation playing out in the NHL. There are two guys that are fighting well past the expiration date of this fight. Two officials are catching parts of these haymakers as they're coming in. And no one's batting an eye. The officials aren't, we're not talking about throwing people out of the league today. And then I see all that and I go, man, this is awesome. What an awesome end of this game. And then I look up and I see a highlight of a towel lightly being tossed at an official, and then I hear Greenberg calling for the man's execution.
Okay, all right. So
I may have framed that in a way beneficial to myself, but you see where I'm going.
Now that your hyperbole is done, your hyperbolic statement is over. Okay, the fluffiness of the towel, fine, I get it. The gossamer of the towel, it could still be something that someone slips on. He threw it at the ref. He didn't throw it hard. It wasn't Pat Beverly rifling a basketball at a. At a fan, which still has yet to reach a resolution, probably because the Bucks are out.
They did say the police are looking into it, which I was like, oh, that escalated quick.
That'll jump up a notch. Yeah, yeah. Bucks are out probably because Pat Bev's on the team. There you go. You move forward. All right, got it. Now, the Murray situation is separate. There's no fighting in the NBA. The NBA understands what it looked like publicly, the PR hit it took when it sort of allowed fighting, so they don't do it. The NHL's getting away from fighting as well. You don't see this in the playoffs because goals are so precious. And so ostensibly, you get in a fight, you put the other team on the power play, it leads to goal, it's just more costly. The Bruins needed a response. They were getting bullied last night. There was bloodlust in Florida. There was, and Florida bloodlust is different. Florida hockey fans are different. Matthew Tkachuk is a perfect instigator for that team, not only because the team once glorified a rat, and a lot of people feel like Tkachuk embodies some of that out there, but because Tkachuk can score and fight. He can score and fight. So what he did last night was akin to Jake Paul early in his career, where Paul was fighting guys who were not fighters. You know what I mean?
Right. And like Nate Robinson.
So he picked on a guy in Pasta who has beautiful hands, Costanza model hands that need to sleep in lotion because they're goal scoring hands. They're not fight throwing hands. Did Tkachuk break the sort of unwritten rule of fighting with a guy who's on his back? Yeah, that's usually the end of a fight. He kept throwing blows. But Pasta gave it right back by getting up and diving back in when Tkachuk was being held back by officials. Tkachuk fed Pasternak his lunch, took his lunch, mama birded it, chewed it up, spit it back to him. Like, that was a win in so many ways for Florida. It had the adverse effect on the Bruins. They're lucky that Pasta didn't get hurt. And now they have to figure out what to do in net. I still think it's Swayman, but my goodness, did Florida get up off the deck. And everybody knew it was coming. That was the thing. They had to know that Florida was going to try to play bully ball hockey, and they did. They just pummeled them all night.
I found it fascinating having the game side by side. And I'm watching just this these chokeouts. Guys are getting dragged to the ground on the ice. The refs have completely lost control because they're outmanned. Yep. It's nothing but fisticuffs. And then this morning, I see the towel lightly tossed into the air, and I hear Greenberg calling for the man's, head, and everyone laying it out. And it makes sense. Two different sports, I get it, but it's just when you put them side by side, and Pasta's throwing these punches in between the refs, like, even though he's clipping the refs aren't turning around like, whoa, that's it, man. You're out of here. That's the end of your time in the NHL. It's just business as usual for those guys. Yeah. It's insane. Yeah. It's what makes the hockey playoffs so good. Knicks Pacers Friday. Coverage begins 6:30 p.m. Eastern right here on ESPN Radio. We got a lot to get to. Randy Scott, Joe Formball, Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.